Hi, welcome everyone to the Aventry video podcast series. We're excited to come to you today. I've got Jeremy Donovan with us today. Jeremy is the Vice President of Sales Strategy and Operations at SalesLoft. Welcome, Jeremy. Thanks for joining us.
John, thanks for having me on.
Awesome. Well, we're very excited to have you today. So obviously, as you know, and the rest of the world knows, we're in the middle of a bit of a crisis. The coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic is very much upon us. We're both sitting in our homes safely, doing what we need to do to do our part here. But I wanted to bring you on and thank you for joining because I think you have a very specific some good insight into what this all means for sales and marketers around the globe. So happy that you're here and want to jump into some of those items with you.
Great, looking forward to it.
Great. All right, so let's start. So in March of this year, 2020, you and SalesLoft were intending to have your annual conference, Rev 2020, in San Francisco. I was ready to go. I began on my birthday, March 9th, and so I was going to sneak up early for the weekend and go up to Mendocino and watch the whales traverse up the coast, but it was not to be, as Rev 2020 was canceled, as are most other events going on around the world. So now, what was interesting about your conference is that this happened before a lot of government intervention had come in, before there were mandates on event sizes and that sort of thing. So I guess, for our audience who's very interested in, decisions like that, could you just talk to us briefly about why you did what you did leading up to the decision to cancel Rev 2020?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like some of this needs to be archived, I guess, of what was actually happening in the world at the time. But we were about a week and a half out from the conference, pushing about 2,000 attendees, and finalizing all the as pre-conference madness sort of is, right? Finalizing presentations, getting all the final accommodations ironed out. Usually with conferences, right, the last couple of weeks is a huge surge in purchases of tickets and so on, wrapping up our sponsorship stuff. So all those pieces, so very much in flight. And right then the at least in the US, right, the early part of the fear started to take hold. But as you mentioned, it was, this all developed so rapidly that at the time the US government was basically saying, was not raising any alarms at that point. And to some extent, there was a little bit of state and local stuff going on, mostly on the West Coast, right? Up in, I think, Washington State at the nursing home. I think that may or may not even have been out at that time. So yeah, we were sort of debating. We started having people ask us, vendors start to ask us, are you guys going to have the conference? One or two conferences had been canceled before us. I think the one that was canceled before us that I remember most vividly was Facebook, I think, was supposed to have a conference in San Francisco. So that was, I think, the first one. We were watching Saster, which was, I think, the same week as us or the week after, to see if they would cancel. I actually don't know what they ultimately did. But we, even before, I think Saster was still planning on going on when we canceled. And yeah, it was, I mean, if you sort of were to go like inside the Slack channels and inside the conference rooms of SalesLoft, it was a really hard day. Our marketing team had poured their hearts and souls for the better part of, 6 to 9 months into conference planning. And then all that work, it partially evaporates because then you just turn everything virtual, which we can certainly talk about. But yeah, it was a tough decision. I will say, I mean, SalesLoft is one of the reasons I joined the company, and something that is very true here is, it's a little cliche, drinking the old our own Kool-Aid, but we talk about sales love, and the outpouring of love towards our marketing team from sales, from customer success, from product, from HR, from finance, like we were just really rallying around to give a kind of big hug to our virtual hug, I guess. Actually, no, we hadn't closed the office yet. So like literal hugs, I guess, to, the people on our marketing team. just with, you know, with deep empathy for them. The same thing from our customers, and people who are planning to attend, you know, just, showing deep empathy and compassion.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's true of marketers all over the world. So our hearts go out to all of them. And that leads into something you just mentioned, but, you know, how do we salvage this? So not just, and I'm interested in the work that you all did for Rev 2020, but how do you salvage your events going forward? How do you think about, you know, your strategy around events given the uncertain times and the future and how it looks? Any thoughts on?
Yeah, I mean, what I see happening in general, like as I read threads of, for example, on Modern Sales Pros, which I'm an active reader of, and even looking at what we're doing, what other companies are doing that I talk to, right, is, you know, the marketing budgets have not yet dramatically changed, although as the days and weeks unfold, you know, depending on how resilient the economy is to this, you know, we'll see how that changes. But certainly, you know, shift in dollars in kind of two ways. One, well, I mean, the one big shift is just shifting everything that was field marketing to digital, right? And digital could be, you know, search engine marketing and that sort of thing, but digital is also virtual events. So, you know, we definitely have increased our focus on podcasting, on webcasts, and then on organizing live, you know, live virtual events as well. So it's not like the need to share best practices and information, right, has gone away. And in fact, you know, as we were prepping and you and I were talking about this, it's almost like in this, you know, in this time when we're both sitting in our houses, and I think as we record this, I can't remember what the percentage, it's like 41% or something like that of Americans are now under basically stay-at-home directives. There's this incredible hunger for any sort of interaction, right? Any human interaction to you know, it's fundamental, right, to know other people are out there and they care and you care about them and so on. So I think it actually has increased the willingness of people to engage in virtual events. You know, taking myself as, I had a marketing professor who said, like, never use yourself as an example, as a case study, but I'll use myself as a case study, which is, you know, before this, I mean, with a live webinar or virtual event, I'd usually register, but my point of registering was so I can get access to the replays, and then I'd watch the replays at 2x speed. And I've noticed my own behavior change a little bit, that I'm more keen to actually tune in live to those webinars. And I guess it's like the difference between watching recorded sports. I'm not a sports fan, so hopefully this analogy works. But I would assume it's the same thing as like watching recorded sports versus live sports is there's just a different, you know, it's like a different feel to something that's live, a different human connection that, you know, you crave, especially when you don't get as much in riding the bus and the train. And since I commute into New York City, right, walking through the streets and so on.
Sure. Yep. Yeah. And I think we'll go back to live events at some point, and there's nothing to replace that. But to your point about virtual events, there's distractions and there's other things that kind of encumber those today. But my big prediction is that, you know, over the next however long this lasts, we're going to see kind of an abundance of creativity and, you know, finding new ways to engage virtually, to engage better virtually, which will benefit us all. You know, even when we go back to live events, the power of virtual events, I think, will be a lot stronger than it is even today. So
yeah, I'm pretty, as a related note, is like I'm pretty amazed by the fact that the infrastructure to support virtual events and just virtual meetings in general has been resilient enough to withstand the flood. I remember catching a news story this past week that the I think it's the chairman or CEO of Verizon said, like, yeah, no problem. Which is pretty amazing that I would assume the amount of bandwidth that's being consumed is, yeah, before is just astronomical. One thing I did notice is I have gotten a few instances of where I tried to make a regular phone call, which is weird, like a regular phone call, and gotten all signal, all lines are busy right now. So, and regular phone being cell phone, sorry, not land phone. Yeah. But But I thought that was unusual. But otherwise, you know, Zoom seems to be working well, and I would assume it's true of other teleconferencing systems, and internet bandwidth seems to be okay. So that's been helpful.
Yeah, definitely. And there's, it turns out there's a lot of great virtual event companies out there that are, you know, presenting alternatives and presenting solutions. So, you know, there's a few Digitel and Intrado, Evia. These are companies on 24 that are making big leaps and really helping in this time of need and bringing these new solutions to market.
I'll ask you a question. Maybe you turn this. I run a podcast, so I'm so used to being the person who asks questions and sits and listens. So, and I'm a super introvert, so hard for me to talk so much.
All right, lay it on me.
One thing I think, like, I would tremendously value, and I don't know if it exists, is like a great forum for one-to-one peer conversations. So, right. So I'm in sales strategy and ops. I'd love to just, you know, have a coffee or virtual beer or whatever one-on-one with a peer. And like LinkedIn, I guess I could find them on LinkedIn and invite them, but it seems like a lot of work, you know, that I don't know if they're going to accept. What I'd love to have is something where like I could be part of a group and I know that everyone in that group, right, was a peer, and I know that people in that group would be excited and willing to have a conversation, you know, whatever, 30-minute chat. Are you aware of anything? I mean, are you aware of anything like that?
Well, yes and no. So I'll give you an offhand example, but I think it may hold true. And that's for kids and everyone right now that's asking their same kind of questions of how do I interact with my classmates? I don't know how old your kids are, but mine are young, but my oldest is in kindergarten. And so they have these Google Hangouts that their teachers are setting up. So Google has some sort of offerings. And then all of those, you know, partners that I mentioned, all of those platforms have something, and I'm not, you know, an expert on any of their solutions, but they all have some part of that. And then I know right now, you know, I could speak to Eventry, but I'm sure lots of organizations are doing it is, and especially we as an events company, is how do we create something that didn't exist last week that is going to serve as a place, in our case, for event planners and VPs of sales and marketing to come together. Exactly. And just have conversations. So we are actually trying to get that off the ground right now, which, you know, hopefully in the next couple of days. But my guess is a lot of organizations are wanting that. And so another prediction is you'll see a lot more of that in the coming weeks.
Yeah, I mean, there's organizations that sort of serve groups of individuals, right? So Gartner, for example, and Corporate Executive Board, who serve sales leaders so effectively, they're great at obviously the, you know, sort of asynchronous information dissemination, and they'll organize events of 50 plus people, but there is, I think kind of in the prediction realm, I think this is kind of one of them that out of this hopefully will pop out more of these sort of one-to-one peer best practice sharing communities. And I'm sure there's a few that are out there that neither of us are thinking of that serve different constituencies. The tech is obviously there. It's more like the network and the matching part of it that's the last mile on that.
Yeah. Well, for us, you know, thank you for that feedback, because that's the intelligence that we kind of bring in as we're considering this for us and some of those questions around networking. So my guess is, you know, we'll see a lot of creativity around that in the coming weeks as people, you know, have this new need, which is kind of exciting to be a part of. Okay, so we've touched on some predictions. So I guess just as a final question, now, what is the opportunity here, and is there anywhere that you're thinking, you know, especially given we might have some slower times, where you're thinking about investing for when we do come out of this? You know, any big opportunities that you have your eye on and that SalesLoft, you know, may consider investing in the future?
Oh yeah, it's hard. It's a hard time to answer that question. I mean, I think the investments we're making are investments in our customer. It's a sound sort of, you know, I don't mean this to come off as marketing spin or anything, and it's not, but it's really, because the company is so deeply wired in compassion, and the individual, and it's not the, I mean, the company is a massive individuals, and we kind of hire for that. What we're really thinking most about is like the health and well-being and job security of our customers. So yeah, I mean, right now I think there's like any company, we're going to try to identify the industries that are likely to benefit from helping others. I think that's the best way to put it, right? That are beneficiaries during this time, for obviously for good reasons, and then just providing relief as we can to our other customers who aren't beneficiaries and are struggling, and did it with prospects. I mean, would come as no surprise that we're trying to think about creative ways for people to become SalesLoft customers without having to worry about, you know, any downside risk if their companies hit a bump. So, we're still figuring that out like everyone else is. But I think that's another thing that will come of this is, and you already see it, is like the generosity of companies opening up their platforms in different ways, or adding, like if you were at whatever service level, I use a podcasting platform called Zencastr for my podcasts, and you know, they opened up the next service level for everyone for free for a period, you know, for during this period. So I think that's the sort of thing that, you know, we're thinking about really is just like the well-being and success and job security of the people that we serve.
Yep. Yeah. And I don't think that's marketing spin. I think that's what, at this point, that's what everyone's focused on. You know, this is a lot bigger than the forecast for the next month, and just getting back to the basics of a great, you know, customer experience is essential at this point. So, okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks,
Jeremy, for your time. I really appreciate this. This is a new medium, this video podcast, and thank you for doing it. I thought, as pointed out earlier, I think people are dying for a little more engagement, and a little video can be just the fix at a time like this. So thank you for being game for that. Good luck over the coming weeks and months. Things will surely evolve a lot over time. And I look forward to talking to you again.
Awesome. Thanks, John. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Jeremy.